What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night, November 18th, 2025. A brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, stream live on the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel and on our Facebook page. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button at Boiler Break Pod on all social media platforms. And if you're listening to this podcast on your favorite audio podcast platform, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of the other major podcast platforms, give us that 5-star rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. I'm Tanner Lee, Aaron Lynch, Evan Webb in the house. Fellas, how we doing? Getting closer to Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. Doing all right. How about you?
Can't complain. Can't complain.
Only one game away from football being over this season.
Said that too many times the last 3 years, but is what it is. Hopefully we're not sitting here a year from now saying the same thing, but I guess time will tell. But I thought we would start on more of a positive note. Talk about the Purdue basketball team, who's out to a 4-0 start. Two good wins this past week. Went down to Tuscaloosa this past Thursday, defeated a then, at the time, top 10 ranked Alabama squad that I think we can all agree looks like they could definitely contend for a Final Four this year.
Yeah, they're, I mean, just like anybody else, if they're clicking, they're going to be hard to beat, especially, I mean, they've got just shot makers all over the court, and obviously the length and athleticism that, you know, people covet for deep March runs, but, and they're obviously really well coached, and they've been there. The Hoos coach has been there just as recently as Painter has. Yeah, that was a solid team. That was a really great team win.
Absolutely. I thought it was just as exhilarating as last year in Mackey as a game. Braden took over. TKR just coming back first game. I mean, he looked gassed, but literally he's given everything he had. Unbelievable. I think resume builder win as well. Definitely. I know you said Final Four, but I think they're going to be competing for the SEC title. I know Kentucky's looking bad right now against MSU. But, you know, you saw Tennessee in that conference.
And they're about Auburn. Yeah.
There's a couple unknowns in Florida as well. They're retooled, ready to go, wanting to defend their title. So I definitely see this team competing for an SEC championship and definitely probably being a threat come March.
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, I watched a little bit of their game the Saturday before when they won at St. John's, and they got most of their points that game via the paint down low. We took that away from them, so they just were trying to go bombs away against us, and it was working early on. Thank goodness they cooled off a lot in the second half. But yeah, just a really solid road win. Like you guys mentioned, Braden, awesome. Proved why he's preseason Big Ten player of the year, preseason player of the year nationally. Yeah, he willed Purdue to win. I mean, down the stretch. I mean, he won the ball in his hands, of course, like he should. Did you guys get nervous at all during this game? I got to say, I did not.
Always. I mean, I would say nervous, just like anxious, obviously. You know, when they get up, I don't think really any team really got more than up more than like 7, if not 8. I mean, obviously 8 kind of at the end, but you know, when they kind of made that, it was around like 12 minute mark. I think they got up like 6, and I was like, all right, this is the danger zone. Like, if this, you know, this is, can't let this slip away. And then, you know, credit to both teams. Whenever, you know, one team kind of went on a little run, the other team answered pretty much right away.
I was just going to say, like, Braden stepping out and being out 6 minutes in that first half, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then what are we doing here? Because, I mean, we saw last year he was logging heavy minutes, usually sometimes not coming out for certain full games, just playing the entire game. I know I made that big prediction. If he would have played that six minutes, I think he would have got to 40 points last week. on a mea culpa, what I said last week, that when he scores more than 20, now we're 18-1. The one loss I thought was Houston. It was actually Michigan last year. So, yeah. Mea culpa on me. He had a high assist number against Houston.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing I liked seeing against Alabama's Omer coming in and being able to give Brayden a breather. That's something Brayden hadn't really had, and Pru hadn't really had exposure. Yeah, the last
since he's been here. Yeah.
So I mean, that helped Brayden finish the game strong, in my opinion. And I'm sure I mean, I know he's a competitor and wants to be out there all the time. I'm sure he appreciates the little breather too. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy that's, I don't know if he's exceeded expectations for me, but he's definitely met them. It's Oscar Clough. He fits this team perfectly. He's what this team was missing last year in the worst way. And man, I wouldn't want to try to fight with him for a rebound. He just goes and gets it and takes pride in doing so.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He's a man among boys, and I had firsthand.
Literally, he's like 24.
One of my good friends went down to the game on Sunday, and he said his shoulders are broader than anyone else on the floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just masses a human down there. He's taking up space, kind of like he said Haas was more taking up space because Edie was just tall, and he's not as big as Edie, but like Haas's mass, he compared it to that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he said definitely that those rebounds. He also doesn't think that we're going to lose many rebounding battles unless it was kind of like Alabama. They're taking a lot of threes and the ball's bouncing out, and it's perimeter rebounding instead of interior rebounding. Like last year, it was if TKR wasn't rebounding the ball or if Brayden wasn't going in there and getting rebounds, we're getting beat on the boards.
Yeah, we saw that a little bit early on with Akron too, which I think we'll see more with the mid-major teams we play. They're a little quicker, so they like to shoot threes, so they're going to get a lot of those long rebounds or long rebound opportunities. But Purdue's, I think they heard everybody complaining and worrying about the rebounds after the Evansville game, the Oakland game, and they shut everybody up last week with their rebounding performance for sure. I've seen some chatter online. I mean, it's hard to be negative at all, I think, with this team through four games, really, or two negative. I have seen some people online like a little concerned with the production from Harris and Cox. I'm not concerned. Are you guys concerned at all?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. It's like it's gonna come and go. I mean, there's gonna be games where we're gonna need them a lot, and some games where, like, you know, they'll probably score six or something. Like, it's not right. I'm more concerned about them just giving effort on the defensive end.
I'll say this: next year, it's a whole. It'll be completely different next year because they'll be in a different
role. Right.
This year, I'm not concerned. What I'm a little hesitant about is the turnovers, especially Sunday between Meyer and Brayden. Brayden's going to be making those turnovers in silly plays. I think was it three or four? I don't have the box score, but I remember it was like that. And Meyer had three, and I think we had 13 as a team. And I'm just like, well, it's Akron, I get, but I'm concerned that that needs to be cleaned up, especially moving to the conference play, early conference play, because that kind of nips us in the butt in the last few years.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I didn't catch much of the second half of the Akron game. I had one of my other podcasts going on. I had to head over here on the TV, but thought I could multitask, and I couldn't. I mean, from what I watched in the first half, we finished the first half strong, and then the little bits I caught in the corner of my eye in the second half, I mean, it looked like we cleaned up a lot of what we were doing wrong in the first half. And credit to Akron. I mean, John Gross is a good coach. And they've won the MAC back-to-back years, and they're probably going to win it for a third year.
Yeah, they were pesky. I mean, for a while, they were going shot for shot. It was pretty impressive, just that level team. And they were just, I think they just weren't fazed by whatever happened. Like, if there was that the video that Purdue put out, like it was one of Oscar's dunks, but like they got the ball out so fast, like, and they were just immediately going up the court. So like it was just there's a reason why they averaged 100 points a game before that game, because you don't score 100 by playing slow.
And also Mackey wasn't like really loud because there wasn't big runs going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was loud, but it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, it's corrupt. Sunday against a MAC school too. The atmosphere just never
Sunday night too. It's like it's just such up. A weird time. Like, yeah, obviously you're competing with NFL. But yeah, it's just an odd, like 7:30. It's, you know, I'm sure some people opt to stay home or whatever. But
yeah, but good to take care of business. You know, that's a game they could easily overlooked and looked ahead for the Bahamas, and you know, looking forward to getting down to nice weather where it's in the 80s, not in the 40s or 30s in some parts of the state today. But this group seems pretty locked in. Matt Painter got his 500th career win, which is a big deal to everybody except him, and he'll let you know about that.
It's 500 career, it's 475 Purdue.
Career, yeah. His 1 year at Southern Illinois. So hopefully his greatest accomplishments are yet to come. We're just lucky to have the guy. I mean, Robbie Hummel's been on two podcasts last week, I think. Well, they recorded him when he was in town for the Oakland game, but it was the For Pete's Sake podcast and Golden Black podcast. I listened to them both, and you know, he speaks highly of Matt, of course, like you would think most of his former players would. But it was interesting when they were asking him about, like, how much longer do you think he'll do this? He couldn't give a definitive answer, of course, because he's not Matt Painter, but he goes, I hope he coaches another 20 years until he's 75 or whatever it is. But he goes, I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
You know, if I would venture to guess, I'd say between 5 and 10 more.
I think it's pretty safe bet. Yeah.
I think that's very safe.
Yeah.
Pending, certain results, obviously. You never know. Like,
I mean, it did make me a little worried that Robbie's like, well, if Purdue's the win at all this year, I could see him just, all right, that's enough, retire. Which, I mean, obviously, I want to win a national championship, but I also don't want to lose Matt Painter right now either. Because even though hopefully he sets it up for long term success and the easiest transition possible, you just never know.
I don't see him chasing Knight and Izzo's Big Ten records. Something's going to be named after him again because he's going to pass Katie's for Coach of the Year for Big Ten. Coach of the Year, I should say. So I just maybe 5 to 10 in that range, split the middle, 7.5, 8 kind of in that
range. That's kind of my thoughts. Yeah, it's about – I'd probably lean more towards the back half of 10 versus the front half.
I will say that please don't leave after this year if we do win it, because I don't want this in, like, athletic leadership to pick a coach.
That's very true.
Please stay through whatever change that is.
That's a good point.
It could be a situation where, I mean, like Katie, he's just like, this is who the next person is, like, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. 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 They didn't let Joe Tiller do that, which they probably should have.
Which is so dumb.
I mean, he wanted Brock Spack, and they're like, where are you going to hire Danny Hope or Paul Christ? And they'll be Danny Hope. So. I think Paul Crist was the other guy in the running, if I remember correctly. I don't know. That was a little before I was really getting on the message boards a ton. But anyways, but yeah, the Matt Painter thing's worked out great for Purdue.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts this past week?
Not about this week, but someone put up on the board. Yeah. They found the website from 2018 after we lost to Texas Tech. Someone had like the firemattpainter.com, the petition. It's like, thank God the athletic department didn't listen to people at the time.
Thad Mooney on Facebook, who retires first, Matt or everyone's favorite coach of all time, Izzo? It's got to be Izzo, right?
You think? I don't know. They talk about it, and I think it was Joe Tipton of On3's talked about, like, he doesn't think people are as close. He's not as close as people think he might be to retiring. He just got a 5-star committed for next year, a 5-star center. Oh, wow. So it's like he's not slowing down right now, and obviously they just don't go away. Like, he seemed to. I mean, obviously. Results pending this year, but he seems to kind of, there's a time like kind of when all this craziness started happening with college sports, like he was kind of wasn't the same, but he seems to have maybe found something. I don't know, found his own little mojo going. But I mean, we kind of joked about Wisconsin's coach, what was his name,
Bo Ryan
being a vampire. I mean, Izzo might be an actual vampire, just forever.
I mean, he is in his 70s now. He has been outspoken about things he doesn't like in college basketball, which is probably good because maybe they'll listen to somebody like him. Probably not. But, you got to think he's getting pretty darn close. But who knows?
I think he's going to run a Boeheim and just keep coaching.
Jeez.
And just have to be forced out.
Except he probably won't run him into the ground like Boeheim.
Yeah, Boeheim. I mean, it's that old Batman quote, like, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And that was kind of Boeheim. Like, he just ran it into the ground.
Yeah.
we see your comment, Cameron. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
When we get to football.
Exactly. Yeah. Not ignoring it, just saving it for the topic on hand.
Yeah. But in terms of like this last week, I mean, obviously that was an awesome win. It was kind of one of those things where I don't get blown out like in that type of situation. I figured it'd be a close game. My gut kind of going into it was like, man, I wouldn't be surprised if Purdue loses this thing, but I'm glad they didn't.
That Moody on Facebook, Bo was a vampire. Iz was the alpha vampire leading them all. Mm-hmm.
Probably,
he did lead Tom Crean.
But my blind rankings is basketball related, obviously, if you guys want to kind of, and it is on topic of what we're talking about. If
sure.
You want to go to that, unless anybody else has any other comments.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
So I was a little lazy on this one, but it was an assist from our good friend Robbie Hummel. We can call him that.
Sure,
because he put out that tweet after the one at Alabama, and the list of ranked wins that the trio had since they've been at Purdue. And so I did top five or blind rankings of non-conference rank wins for Braden, Fletch, and TKR.
Okay.
So I've got five of those. I mean, obviously, if you saw the list, you can. I think there was eight games there, so you can pick five. And I want you to rank them. You know, my thought was either how excited you were, or maybe like how big of a win it was. I mean, I want you to tell me your criteria before you rank the first one. So starting off, going back to December 16th, 2023, number three Purdue defeats number one Arizona at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, 92-84. Scores were led by Caleb Love of Arizona, 29. Can you guys tell me who led Purdue in scoring that day?
Fletcher.
It was Fletcher, 27. I put this at, part of it also was because I saw the comments about Fletch not showing up for big games because he didn't score that much against Bama on Thursday. And I was doing this. I was like, you can shut up. he scored 27. He was 5-9 from three. Braden added 26. He was 4-7 from three. And TKR only had 4 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. And actually, what was funny about this game is I looked at the box score. Purdue had 4 bench points. Can you tell me who scored the 4? There was 2 players. Can you tell me who scored the 4? They each scored 2.
Heidi and Colvin?
That's nope. Who I was going with.
Mason and first.
Oh. I'm going to go do my criteria by how big a win I think it was. I'm going to put this at 2.
Okay.
Of course, Arizona was ranked top 3.
It was number 1. So it was our first.
Yeah, number 1.
Yeah, number 1. Yeah.
It was in Indy.
Yeah.
Big time. It was about as big as a Saturday non-conference game can get as far as a national game, I think, that mm-hmm. day. There might have been some NFL that day. There's something else going on.
Army-Navy was going on that day.
That was a great day for basketball because you had it I think it was like the noon game was Kansas at IU. And that was I think that was a close game and Kansas ended up pulling it out in the end. Some controversial calls, but that was a big game. The game before, cause this was obviously the Crossroads, not Classic. This was the
Indy Classic.
It was Indiana State versus Ball State, maybe.
Sounds right.
Yeah, so that was the game beforehand. But that was a good day for basketball. There was the downtown because I was at the game with my dad, and like there was a good buzz just about basketball all downtown.
Yeah, tons of NBA scouts there, and I think it was just so big knowing that Indianapolis was going to host the first and second round, and if Purdue took care of business, they could get right back in Gainbridge, and that's what ended up happening. But it was just good knowing we could beat really good teams in that state, in that arena, because hasn't always been friendly to us by any means. So, I just think that set up a lot of Purdue success going forward that season. But I'm putting it at 2 because I feel like you're going to throw something else in there that I'm going to want at 1. So
I'll just go opposite for you, a little different. I'll just go favorite. I'll put this one at 4. I mean, 4. It was big.
Okay. Yeah. But
I had high expectations. So I was like, and that Arizona team was,
They were pretty stacked. they had Caleb Love. They had Kylan Boswell. They had Omar Ballo. Like they would.
How far did they go that year?
I thought they went Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. I thought it was Sweet
16.
Yeah. Okay. This was honestly one of the most like of that year. That was outside of obviously like the Elite Eight game, and that was probably one of my favorite games I went to that year. That was a really fun game. Just a good back and forth game. All right, moving on. Next one, November 21st, 2023. Number two, Purdue defeats number seven, Tennessee in Maui, 71-67. A game that saw 78 combined free throws between the two teams.
Yeah, like turned Purdue to a shot. That was the longest second half ever.
Yeah, Purdue shot 48.
How many did Edie have again? Was it 20 that game?
It was something like that. Yeah, because I have here. Purdue was led again by Fletcher the Lawyer with 27 points. He was 3 of 10 from 3 and 10 of 11 from the line. So he had 11 free throws himself. Brayden had 6 and 5, 1 assist. TKR had 8 and 8 and 2. Obviously, this set up for the Marquette championship.
Mm-hmm. I'll put this as my 4. It's always fun to beat Tennessee, but it's kind of becoming a I don't want to say expectation, but like it's like, oh, beat them again type thing. But a little bit, I know we were going to see them again in the Elite Eight. I mean, knew they were a good team and going to be a top seed. Yeah. But I'm putting that 4 just because it wasn't the championship game of that or anything, but still was a big win. And we had just beat
Gonzaga
too. So so go after that game, it was like, all right, I want to win it all, but we've won 2 games, so I feel good about it. Because you always want to go 2-1 and one of those things out at the worst. So
I'm going to put it 2 because I remember Dalton Knecht going off on this game.
I think he had like 16 or 18. He didn't have as much as I thought he had. Look at the box score.
He had big shots in the second half, if I remember right. Or if I'm getting the league game in this mixed up in my head because of time.
Possibly, yeah, I can't remember. Because I missed this. I was like, again, as we talked about when Tanner did his blind rankings of non-conference, or was it – it was the – non-conference like tournaments when you did your blind rankings a few
last week ago.
It was you had done the Marquette game, so like, I'll do the Tennessee game. All right, third one we've got is from November 15th, 2024. Number 3 Purdue defeats number 2 Alabama in Mackey. TKR led the way with 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. Brayden and Fletch each scored 17. Brayden, he went 0-6 from deep, but he added 10 assists and 6 rebounds.
This game was exhilarating. It's definitely number 1 in my book.
I'm putting that 1 as well. Okay. Because even though it was at Mackey, like nobody knew what to expect last year, especially early. And everybody thought Alabama would come in, Purdue's got no chance type thing from the national pundits. And Purdue took it to them.
Alabama team pretty much returned most of their core from that Final Four team, and they added Cliff Amore from Rutgers. So, like, it was a kind of a thorn in Purdue's side.
It was one of those games where it's like, oh, maybe it wasn't just all Edie the year before. Yeah. You know, everybody was like, oh, Brayden Smith's only good because of Zach Edie type of thing. And it's like, all right, move the goalpost somewhere else now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I put that one as well.
Yeah. Trey just like, bodying up Grant Nelson because that was the matchup I was concerned about because Grant obviously is a little bit more athletic, he could step out, but I mean TKR just took it to him. It was awesome.
And also him stepping in that bigger role since he was there and being
exactly
the whole post, post guy because Jacobson's gone.
Another cool stat was Caleb first came off the bench to score 11 and got 10 rebounds. So that was
I don't remember that.
Yeah, and obviously CJ Cox had, I think, 11, and he obviously had his 9-point spurt.
Yeah.
15 seconds. That's what everybody remembers from that game.
Yep.
All right. Number 4. So, wait, you guys got one.
I got, Cam,
you
got 3 one, and 2, 5.
And 3 and 5.
I got 3 and 5. Well,
okay. All right. November 27th, 2022. We've got Purdue blows out number 8, Duke, in the Phil Knight Legacy Championship. Purdue was led by Zach Edey with 21, but Fletcher scored 18, 4 of 8 from 3, and Brayden scored 4 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. TKR came off the bench to score 2 points, 1 rebound, and 1 block. That was Caleb. This is where Caleb got 11, and I had my notes mixed up.
It's going number 3 for me. It was the championship of that thing. You already beat West Virginia and Gonzaga. It is beating Duke. Something we hadn't seen in our lifetime. We've seen some losses to Duke, some frustrating losses. Hadn't seen one. And Duke's the New York Yankees of college basketball. So, yep, number three.
Yep, same for me, three. That was definitely a big win. Kind of cemented our place, I would say, in upper echelon and being respected by the national media.
And then number five, recency biases goes back to last Thursday where Purdue goes into beat number eight, Alabama, as we were just talking about, 87-80. Purdue's led by Braden Smith, 29, 5 of 10 from 3, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. TKR had 19 and 15 and 5 assists, and Fletcher had 7 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. And obviously we talked about Purdue out rebounds, Alabama 52 to 28.
Yeah, I'm good with that being 5. I mean, huge win, of course, but we're so
spoiled.
Spoiled, thank you. I was going to say lucky. We're just spoiled right now with a lot of big wins and good basketball. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, another big non-conference win. All right, take care of business. On to the next. Because, you know, I was thinking in my head today, I mean, maybe we don't have any matchups that big coming up the next few weeks, but we still have, I mean, possibly one with Texas Tech coming up. You got Iowa State, Marquette, who's down right now, Auburn.
Who just went down to the wire with number one Houston.
Which
sidebar, when's the last time we've had back-to-back weeks where the number one team gets dropped from number one without losing in the
play? I can't recall.
Can't recall either. It's
odd. But yeah.
Good list.
Mm-hmm. Definitely good list.
The Bahamas. I forget what the tournament's called.
Bahamar.
Thank you. I was looking up some history. Of course, we play Memphis Thursday night, 6 p.m. CBS Sports Network. This is a series that's not fared well for the Boilers. The Boilers are 1-5 time against Memphis, but they haven't played them since 2005. That was, of course, Gene Katie's
last year.
Was that his last? No, that would have been Matt's first year.
Oh, Matt's first year. Oh, 2006. It's fall 2005. It
was December 30th. Yeah. Memphis was ranked in the top 10, beat Purdue 90-70.
It was a home and home. That was Cal Memphis, right?
No, one of them was 06, 07.
No, it says 05, 06.
He had a couple good years at Memphis, Cal did. Because Rose came in 06, right? Or
07, because he was 08 draft.
And Purdue had also played in the year before in Mackey in 04, 05 and lost 62-51. Then before that, you had to go back 95, 96. They played a neutral court game in Kansas City, which Memphis won 91-76. Played in the NCAA tournament in 94-95. Austin, Texas, Memphis won 75-73.
Dang.
Played an NCAA tournament in 87-88 in South Bend. Purdue won 100-73. And played in says home game, but it was on March 17th in 83-84. Memphis won 66-48. It says home instead of neutral. I don't know. Maybe it was like an NIT game or something. I don't know.
Maybe
that seems real late in season to be playing a non-conference game. But most times it hasn't fared well for the Boilers. It hasn't fared well in margin of defeat either. Mm-hmm. But this Memphis team's kind of a mess. Penny Hardaway leading the way. If Purdue just plays average, I think they win pretty easily.
Yeah, obviously the talking point of this game will be Memphis athletes versus Purdue's, ball players. But I think, like you said, if Purdue can just play their game, not make stupid mistakes and obviously don't go over from three, it should be pretty good. Because obviously Memphis team who just lost at home to UNLV. UNLV is a team that's lost to nobodies so far this year. So it's interesting.
Yeah, they've beat San Francisco 76-70. Lost at Ole Miss 83-77, and then lost at home against UNLV. So, and they had two exhibitions, which they lost to Arkansas and Auburn pretty badly in both of those.
Yeah.
So, it's weird to see Penny Hardaway being a head coach, but is what it is. Well, either way, Purdue's got to play Texas Tech or Wake Forest, either way. But assuming we beat Memphis and Texas Tech beats Wake Forest, series history, Purdue is 2-1 against Texas Tech. Last time Purdue played them was Texas Tech's only win, NCAA tournament, March 23rd, 2018, 78-65 loss for the Boilers without Isaac Haas, of course. Before that, you got to go back in the 80s, 88-89. Beat them down in Lubbock, 63-54. And the year before that, 87-88, beat them in Mackey, 82-59. So, and then Wake Forest, I couldn't find, like, the years we played them. I remember playing them in 09-10, ACC Big Ten Challenge. But for some reason, I couldn't find like what exact years, but Purdue does lead the all-time series, 4 wins, 2 losses. So, and old friend Miles Colvin is on Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to see. I mean, obviously, I mean, these MTEs are getting slimmer and slimmer with who you can play, because obviously this players era thing is going on and kind of taking up all the good competition. I know like the Maui's kind of not what it
used to be. No, it's real bad.
Yeah, it's not great. So, you know, I know Texas Tech was the last team added to this thing. I know it was kind of up in the air if they were going to do it or not. So I'm glad they are, because hopefully, you know, Purdue has a chance to play them. And that's obviously a really good team, a team with, you know, it was in the Final Four last year and JT Toppin's Player of the Year candidate. And they've got an awesome squad. Obviously, they just went to Champaign and lost. But anytime you get a chance to play a team like that, you want it this early in the season.
Yeah, and going back to your tournament talk, like last year when we won out west, that was supposed to be a whole different field. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be Purdue, BYU, Notre Dame, Kentucky. Notre Dame,
yeah.
And then ended up being Purdue, BYU, Ole Miss, and who'd we beat that first game last year?
That's a good question. Who did we beat?
I don't remember at all.
I forgot Ole Miss was the championship.
Yep.
Wow.
I am blanking.
Was it NC State?
Oh yeah. Yeah, because it was a rematch of the Final Four.
Final Four,
you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Good call. Good call there. Yeah, that was not memorable at all, that win over NC State last year. As memorable as the one the year before.
Yeah.
No, these are always fun to play, fun to watch. The gym only holds 2,000 people. My parents made the trek down today, and their flight from Indianapolis to Atlanta, they said, was full of Purdue people, including one of the voices of Purdue football, Mark Herman. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So,
well, how about we jump into tonight's trivia, because it does have to do with in-season tournaments.
Okay.
So because Matt Painter, I thought about this actually on Sunday as he reaches 500 career win, 475 with Purdue. I thought, hey, you know, we're going into the Bahamas tournament. What's his record in these tournaments? So I went back and compiled. He has played, he's coached 47 games.
Okay.
Of this. How many has he won, and what do you think his win percentage is? And I'm not including like the Arizona like one-off thing. So it has to be like consecutive like days with double elimination.
All right, so I have a record in my mind, but you want win percentage.
Record, then your win percentage would be whatever it's your number of wins divided by 47.
Yeah. So 47 games, I'm going to say he's like 27-20 in these.
Okay.
I'm going to say he's 32-25.
32 and
27. No, you said 47. 32 and 15.
Okay. You are 100% right, Evan. He is 32-15 with a 68% win percentage.
Did you know that?
My first guess was gonna be 35, and then you said, what'd you say, 27 or something? And I was like, I was like, okay, he maybe just, I don't. I'm going to go a little lower. So I went to 32.
Wow. Good poll.
Sweet.
We haven't lost Well, I should say this. Painter hasn't lost a game of these in the last 4 years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so he's been on a hot streak. That's true.
And the only
we struggled with him for a while, but not losing one in 4 years kind of makes up for him.
We struggled when we were in school.
We struggled everything
when
we
were in school. Yeah, kind of blocked that out.
Yeah.
After that, I mean, we've either been 500. I mean, the last time we had a losing record in this was 17-18.
Yeah, went 1-2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even when we were in school with our a good team and a pretty good team, they struggled at these. I mean, we never won any of them.
So what was the one in, like, was it Robbie's freshman year? I remember Tanner, I was at your house watching one of the games. It was like we played, like, Iowa State or something.
Yeah, it was in Vegas.
Yep. Yeah.
We played Iowa State and Missouri State.
Yeah, and lost both. Did we lose both?
I can tell you here in a second.
We lost Iowa State. I thought
we lost that.
We lost to Missouri State, or like barely won.
Yeah.
We won that.
Okay. I think we barely won. Yeah. Then we came back and we beat Louisville in the wooden tradition. And then we turned around and lost to Wofford. And then we got hot in the Big Ten. So, yeah. And I don't know if you saw Thad's comment here, Webby, but he said, go buy all the lotto tickets with that guess.
I thought you actually looked it up because I was
I did too. That was impressive. Webby's a student of the game in Purdue basketball, so I thought for sure like he had somehow found it like the other day, and I'm just gonna play this up and act like I don't know. And
then, don't forget, I did say 32 and 25, so
he did. But
start.
I was like, "Where's the math coming here?"
I don't know
for that one.
Math's overrated.
Yeah.
Good question though. Good trivia.
That's a good one.
Good trivia. So, any other thoughts on the hardwood before we talk about some pain and misery?
I just want to go 2-0 this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Take care of business. Stay healthy. Take care of the potential business.
Matchup of JT Toppin versus TKR is awesome. Like,
yeah.
They're not the same player, but they are just beasts down low.
What do you guys know what time, if presuming we win Thursday, the game will be Friday night? I've seen like conflicting reports.
I thought I saw like 9 o'clock.
Okay. Somebody said 7, somebody said 8:30. So I'm like,
it was something late like that.
Yeah, 8:30 ish. Okay. 9:30 maybe. I don't know. Something. Yeah. I don't know. Figure it out.
And
go check out the TV schedule.
And it's on CBS Sports Network, I think.
Yes. Yes.
And also, I don't know if you all saw your email today. There's promo code for VTN Plus for the Kent State game. $15. Oh. I'm like, ooh.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Just go to
the game. Yeah. Yeah, because right now I'm telling myself I'm not going to order that just for that game, but we'll see when it comes time. I always tell myself that, and I do it anyway. So
I guarantee tickets are going to be dirt cheap that game.
Well, yeah, they're horrendous.
They're horrendous.
They've got a guy, though, who he's been there all 4 years, I think, and I think he's like had a double-double every single game or something like that, but he's like – I saw a stat that popped up on Twitter today.
Mitch Melton said MSU just manhandled Kentucky. Oh, I thought Kentucky was ready to hang a banner after their RX exhibition game with them. That's what their fans were saying.
83-66.
Well, Evan, we both have access to our social media, but you do most of the handling on our X account or Twitter. Do you see that one comment from the Kentucky fan the other night? Oh, just wait till see what happens to Purdue when they play an athletic team, you know, because the Kentucky guy responded with like the score of the game, the exhibition.
No,
game.
I didn't see that. No.
What an idiot. What an idiot. I about said something. I'm like, nah.
I saw someone say like, oh, we all know what happened when you played Kentucky. And I was like, well, I think that was an IU fan that responded to that. But I was like, okay, it's like, I'm going to respond to it. But it was like, it's an exhibition game. Like, whatever.
go barely beat an incarnate word.
Yeah. I did not see that. It's funny.
Yeah, it just maybe I'm like, really? But, I mean, okay, you guys lost to Louisville and Michigan State, which aren't bad losses, don't get me wrong, but simmer down there with your $22 million roster. So,
Mark Pope ain't the true Pope to say that.
I don't think so. I mean, he's split was needed between Kentucky and Cal, but
yeah,
I don't know if Pope's going to get them where they want to be. That's a tough job. That's a tough job. Easy job is you got everything you need, but tough job because that fan base is just
expectations are unreal.
Nuts. Just nuts. So all right, let me switch this background.
I was gonna say our our fiery pits of hell.
I need to get a graveyard picture.
Yeah. Just a dumpster fire.
You know, guys, I mean, I've been frustrated this year, you know, but maybe not to the extent where you guys have been. Saturday broke me. It wasn't even losing to Washington because they're better than Purdue. Even though I stupidly picked Purdue. Looking back on it, it wasn't even by the margin. It was just things going on the field that night.
Yeah,
we got guys talking trash down 30. Which I will say, I thought Washington was one of the dirtier teams Purdue played all year. They were chirping a lot. I'm sure Walters got them fired up.
Oh yeah.
But just some dumb thing. I mean, Rico Walker gets tossed. Slusher.
I can't remember the last time I've seen two unsportsmanlike penalties on a player. I can't remember the last time I've seen that.
I mean, Washington gifted us with a fumble right away. And like, mm-hmm. we had good field position twice early on. Can't mm-hmm. do anything with it. Same old, same old. Fourth and one. Let's bring Malachi Singleton in and let's run it right up the middle. Let's not get creative. Let's not, you know, if we're going to run, let's run it to the outside or do a reverse jet sweep, which we finally saw in the second half, the EJ Horton, who I actually thought played decent. No, let's run right up the middle. And
he probably was looking at that tape and he was like, man, Malachi Singleton, Jerome Bennis, let's do it. He could be the new bus.
It just baffles me. Like, and
when you had Singleton like that loft pass that he had, like if it was just a little more air under it, it was a touchdown. Was it a tuggle? Yeah, and he just underthrew it. It's like that was just on the money. He's running in backwards.
Yeah. And Tuggle's a guy, you know, a lot of Purdue right receivers had this trouble. He has a case of the drops a lot lately. Gosh. I mean, wide receivers haven't helped the quarterbacks out much, but Ryan Brown, man, he's regressing. I think he's lost his confidence.
I think so too.
I think that's the main reason why they just put Malachi in for a while the other night. I don't know if Barry's like, I'm just sick of this, or it's like, okay, let's just try Malachi. I don't know.
I don't think
he watched Purdue tape last year and saw Purdue couldn't defend a running quarterback, so maybe he thought.
No, you're right, Aaron. I mean, maybe this is a dumb comment to say after 11 games. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I'd be surprised if their starting quarterback next year is on this roster.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I know. It's tough telling. I don't know what's going to be out there, and I don't know what Purdue can afford or who they can entice to come. But
I would say the best things that would ever happen is Ryan Brown ain't leaving. I mean, he's left one. He's going to – no. He's
left once before.
Yeah. Well, he left us once, but he ain't leaving. He said Purdue's going.
I
think Malachi Singleton might leave, but I would, and then we're going to be stuck with Ryan Brown and maybe Garrett Odom. And at this point, you might throw him in next Friday night and see what he got. I will say that this is, I don't think Barry has answers in this presser, and Tom was the only one asking questions. Saturday night, I'm guessing he was probably one of the only media members out there too. But when he said our offense is creative enough, I just was like, are you watching tape like Hazel did?
Yeah, I think that's just coach speak being loyal to those guys. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of. Cause sorry, Barry, I'm still a big fan of yours. I still believe in you, but that offense isn't creative. And I think some of it might be they're just working with what they got. But even then, like, to my point, that's when you got to be creative. Like, Jeff Brom was always really creative the first few years, especially because it's like, that's our only way we can compete with some of these teams. Yeah. Washington was drawing up trick plays all over the place on us. They were in, like, four of them.
And they were about their best players, too.
Yeah.
Their best offensive players, too. And that's what blew my mind.
I know. It didn't. Yeah. They were so much faster. And then the announcers brought up multiple times, like, Purdue just doesn't have the playmakers like Washington does. A couple comments here. Thad Mooney on Facebook, dumpster fire background with the Imperial. March needs to play when you put the football background on. Parker Nelson, 3380. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was. Good catch. Parker Nelson, 3380 on YouTube. The most disappointing part was the unsportsmanlike penalties when you're 2-9 on the season and getting your butt kicked. Who are you to talk trash to the other team's head coach?
Yeah, fair point.
Can't disagree with that. So, yeah, the hard, smart, tough stuff, it hasn't aged well.
No, I feel horrible getting that shirt now. I don't know what I'm going to do with that shirt because they'll never I believed in him. And I'll say this, after Saturday night and hearing that presser, I was like, you know what? Like him. But unfortunately, you're going to last through this administration, like athletic leadership, because what's going to happen is turnover at the top. And they're going to keep him because we're going to pay him. We're not going to pay two coaches in regards to Walters or him. And we're going to probably get Barry into the third or fourth year, which is fine. And it's going to be a new AD and a new regime's job to find a new head coach at that point, because Barry's probably not going to be able to get the ground needed to get players that are actually impact players into this, I guess, program, organization. What do you want to call this slap?
He calls it an organization a lot, but.
Well, it's a slap dick program.
It's hard to argue that after the last 3 years, really.
You want to bring up Cameron's comment from the start?
Sure. Can football teams be regulated down a division? Not that I'm aware.
When the Super League comes into play, who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely we will be.
But if they could be regulated, Purdue wouldn't be the only team. Syracuse would be regulated. There'd be other Big Ten teams that'd be regulated too. So, it's depressing. I think Barry gets minimum 3 years, minimum.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I mean, you like to think schedule on paper lightens up next year, but it's going to come down to the off season. Off season's critical. Retaining the guys you want to retain, letting the guys walk that you want to let walk, and finding right fits. Whether I don't know, there's a lot of positions that need upgrading.
But do you believe in this offense? An off person that's calling the offense, because I don't. I actually believe in Shear, because Shear's he's younger than all of us on this.
And they've gotten better for the most part. I mean, obviously Saturday was a little, but they seem to have gotten progressively better.
I mean,
You're holding like Michigan to like what, 24 points or whatever, like in the Big House, like that's obviously, you know, Michigan almost lost Northwestern, but still, it's nothing to snuff at.
He definitely has a hold them as a higher expectation. I mean, him being 31 years old still blows my mind, but I mean, I would definitely retain him. I mean, he's playing with reckless abandon in regards to some of these guys and putting them out of position. If we had a secondary, maybe we were in more games. I mean, and if CJ Madden didn't if we had a second pass rusher outside of Nunley, yeah, if CJ Madden would actually done something this year, instead of being a captain, you know, Manny, hopefully Correa comes back. I mean, but. After glad Slusher ain't coming back next year after last Saturday.
I think he's been a really good player. And credit Barry, he didn't play him the rest of the game after that happened. I don't think he had any idea the kid was as hurt as he was. But still, you shouldn't be taunting. And that killed us at the time. We're down 7. And that led to, you know, we got to home the field goal and be down 10. That led to a touchdown to get down 14. And you just can't do that. You can't. This team's all year hasn't been good enough to get out of their own way. I just keep going back to that dang Minnesota, the dang Minnesota and Rutgers games. Like, you just get those two. I think a lot of us feel a lot different about this year, but they didn't. It's just tough. Starts, the stomach
starts at the top. It starts higher than Odom.
No, it does, but. We can complain, do all we want, but it's not our decision to make, and you hear nothing. Like, Bobinski was in the video with Painter celebrating his 500th win the other night, day in the park, in the locker room, but we hear nothing. I don't know. I doubt there's anything moving behind the scenes. I don't even know when the guy's contract ends. Is it 2029? Is it 2028? I don't know.
I believe it's 2029.
So, I mean, this could be four years.
I think we're the only ones of any of the Purdue podcasts that's crying out at leadership and saying, like, not being more me is like, I think it's above Odom. I don't think I, you can't just throw money blindly at a problem and think it's going to go away. And I hate to sit here and you're like, we need more NIL money. If we go get more NIL money, we could have it could be what we dealt with, a Painter going after high recruits when we were there and being a flop of a basketball program.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what I don't know how much money and support Walters got, but he got enough to get some guys that looked big on paper and they were not good fits at all. So
correct.
You know,
it's like, I know you all give me flack for McLaughlin thing, but the kid would want to play. The kid would want to play for Purdue.
Oh, I'm not saying, I'm sure he dreams to play for Purdue or Indiana, of course, Notre Dame. I just don't see that opportunity coming up, I think.
I mean, I don't either, but I would say, like, prefer to walk on. Go ahead, bud. You can go back in the secondary. I'm not putting you a running back unless you absolutely, like, destroy scout teams. I mean, first team defense, I should say, because you're going to be on scout team. But, like, kids that really want it. And I that's what Notre Dame has and what IU has. I don't think these guys definitely want it. Last year's team definitely didn't want it.
Notre Dame's got a lot of talent. I mean, they got some guys who want it, but they can get anybody they want. Indiana's got guys who were underappreciated and overlooked, I would say, a lot of James Madison guys in particular. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to see them start to get some really good talent, too, on top of that.
But, I mean, do we have more talent than Northwestern? I'd say, yeah. I mean, it's harder to get Northwestern than Purdue. Yeah, but
Northwestern owns Purdue. I mean, look at the series the last 15 years. They're just they're tougher, smarter. Yeah, you're right. It comes back to finding fits. And Barry has said that. You got to find the right fit. So this offseason is just crucial. Crucial.
Before we go back up to Cameron's comments, I know we need to get back up to that, but if we're sitting here next year, it's the same thing. We're looking at 3 years in a row. Where are we at?
I got nothing for I. We better be competing for a bowl next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where I'm at.
I don't think we might. I don't think he's going to have any momentum that he's going to be able to put guys in situations. Because the 2027 schedule on paper looks brutal.
Can't be worse than this year and last year.
2027?
Well, it's 2 years from now, too. I mean, some of those coaches might not even be at the schools.
Oh, I mean, let me pull it up.
Just wait till you see the domino effect this year. Like, even though James Franklin, that move, which good fit at Virginia Tech, that didn't move any dominoes because it didn't need to. But
all right, I'll say here's the schedule. I wish I could share my screen. Can I?
Yeah, I wish.
I think it's you on it. I'll just go through it. So we kick off the season at Notre Dame, it says, in 2027. And then we play North Carolina at home.
Will Belichick be there still?
No.
Maybe Jordan Hudson might be. Jordan. Then we play the MAC team we played the most, but we haven't played in our lifetime, Miami at home. Mm-hmm. And then we're at Maryland.
We played Miami, Ohio in 2006, first overtime game Ross State history, and beat them.
Okay, I would say in a lot. Did I say
in our lifetime? You said lifetime.
So I meant correcting. Long lifetime.
Okay,
sorry.
I was just correcting.
Long lifetime.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's been 20. It'll be more than 20.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Hopefully, Big Ben's not walking through that door.
Oh Lord, if he is, then except, that's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if that old man can throw it 25 yards. I don't know he can walk much these days.
All right, then for Big Ten play, we're at Maryland, at Nebraska, at Oregon, at Ohio State. Home games are Illinois, Indiana, Michigan State, Penn State, UCLA.
Okay. I mean, it's not easy, but it's not – I still don't think it's as bad as this year and last year's.
It's not as bad as last year. Last year was unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say there's probably 5 losses on this, though.
Let me see. If we're projecting this like roster right now and everybody, yeah, absolutely. But 2 years from now, my God, it might be the Big 20 conference. I mean, we have no idea.
Well, but I mean,
I get what you're saying, though.
What I'm saying is more, we're going to probably lose to Notre Dame. who knows? Maybe first game out. Maybe
Marcus Freeman will be in the NFL.
At Oregon, I don't think Dan Lanning's leaving anywhere.
Ooh, I do.
I don't think, unless Ryan Day loses to Michigan, I don't think he's getting fired.
No, I could see Lanning leaving for the NFL after this year.
Okay. I mean, Locksley ain't going to be probably there at Maryland anymore.
Shouldn't be there next year, but more power to him.
And Cignetti's going to still probably be there at IU.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He ain't going anywhere.
He's going to want a statue built when he's still there.
They might already be building it.
We get one after this year.
That'd be wild.
Does Bob Knight have a statue there?
I'm sure he does.
That was an honest question. I had no idea.
He does.
Okay.
I think he does.
Okay.
I'll fact check us.
That was an honest question because I don't know where I was going with that, but we didn't play Big Ben at Miami. He wasn't there in 06. That's the last time we played in Miami. I don't think we played Big Ben when he was at Miami. Could be wrong, I guess. I shouldn't say that so confidently, but a couple questions or comments here, Thad, on Facebook. If next year is the same conversation, we are below sports hell, below purgatory. Purdue football will be in the void of existence. And Mitch Melton, which is more depressing if you weren't a Purdue fan, though? Purdue season or Penn State's? Yeah, Penn State, pretty bad.
I still argue Purdue because you still have – Penn State still has hope.
Yeah.
You can pull someone and, like, be right back to where you were. Like, yeah, I think that's
a good point.
They've got hope.
That's a blip in the pan. They can get kids easily, though. I mean, come to State College, they have history. If you would have told me Penn State back after the Jerry Sandusky, sure, but not this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they come out of this, they're going to Sandusky. They're going to easily come out of this.
Yeah,
we've shown we can't even come out of this.
Yeah,
I mean, we're going to be in hell. I know I threw out this that if Barry was still at UNLV, would he have chose us or Oklahoma State? Because I guarantee those probably would have been his offers. And I think he would have chosen Oklahoma State in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, we are the worst Power Four school in football. And it's not even close anymore.
I don't think we're the worst overall program from attracting people, but we are the worst product right now. And when you accumulate everything the last 3 years, I would say.
Wait, then who's worse in your opinion?
I think Stanford's worse. Yeah.
Frank Wright was temporary, and at least they have luck. And I mean, they have more recent success than us.
But I mean, well, I think you got to go back as far as we do. I mean, go back to 2022. I think that's probably, I don't even know what they did in 2022, but.
Maybe, but I mean, if you look at the other ones, I mean, I can't name a Big 12 school that's worse than us. I can't name an ACC school that's Bob Barrow like us.
Boston College isn't very good.
It's not, but it, I mean,
Syracuse right now, 3-7.
Yeah, but I think
start off 3-1.
But if Angeli doesn't get hurt, they're probably better.
But yeah, I don't.
These teams won Power Four games. We're not going 3 years without a conference road win at this point.
No, that's a good point. Got to wait till 2026. So I know Webby's got to hop off here soon. So, do you guys want to rapid fire real quick the game, Big Ten games? We can skip top 25 because top 25 matchups are awful.
Especially SEC's playing all their cupcakes this week.
Do we want to do players of the game? Helmet sticker?
No. No.
Not really. I don't want to hear you talk about the Gunner. EJ Horton would be mine, I guess.
Yeah, he'd be mine.
Spencer Porat.
That's fair. Yeah, that's it.
He and Jack are the MVPs of the team. So, yep. I mean, it's not even close. Rutgers at number one, Ohio State, was 31.5-point favorites.
God, even without Jeremiah Smith, they're going to roll them.
Yeah, they're going to kill them. Minnesota at Northwestern. Northwestern is a 3.5-point favorite. This game is at Wrigley. Minnesota is the worst 6-4 team I've ever seen. Northwestern's 5-5.
I guess I'll take the hometown Cats.
I am
they
too.
They look pretty good against Michigan. Give me a Cat.
They've never won in Wrigley, though. They struggle in Wrigley, but I think they win this one. Number 15, USC at number 16. It just flipped. Whoa, the standings must be out. Number 16, USC at number 6, Oregon. It's a 9.5-point favorite.
Is it fair to say the winner of this probably gets the Big Ten's last spot? Assuming they don't
they can handle business.
I think Oregon gets it done.
And do as well.
I'll take USC. I'll be different.
Fight on.
Michigan State at Iowa, who is a 16.5-point favorite.
Iowa. Yeah.
Yep.
John Smith is, I think he's dead man walking.
Yeah. Yep. He might go back to Corvallis. Number 18, Michigan at 4-6, Maryland. Michigan is a 13.5-point favorite.
I think Michigan bounces back after a very lackluster performance in Wrigley.
Give me Loxley.
Despite getting the win.
I knew that was coming. I knew Lynch was rolling with Loxley and his 6 losses in a row. Vote of confidence.
Yep.
Nebraska's 7-3, and they're 9.5-point dogs at 4-6 Penn State.
I think Penn State wins.
I do too.
I think Nebraska wins here. I think Matt Rhule has to prove that he can get that job.
He already signed the extension.
Yeah,
with Nebraska
don't matter.
If Penn State hires Matt Rhule, that better been like their 10th option. I think he would not be good there. But 7-3 Illinois at 3-7 Wisconsin. Illinois is a 7.5-point favorite.
Give me Illinois. I think they cover.
Give me Illinois as well.
I like Illinois as well. That'd be back-to-back wins at Camp Randall for them, which would be pretty impressive.
Wow.
And Washington, 7-3, 10.5-point favorites at 3-7 UCLA. Remember when everybody was going gaga over UCLA for like 2 weeks?
Yeah. It's a Big Ten after dark. Give me Washington.
Yep. Give me the Dogs.
I got the Huskies. At that Mooney on Facebook, worst 6-4 team is rowing the boat to more than 3 wins in 2 years. I know. We had them. It's annoying. All right. Well, let's pay some bills real quick as we close up this podcast and let you know about our great sponsors that make this podcast possible. One of those is Mad Mushroom, who's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever any of us three visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which the pizza of the month for November is the Peppa's and Piggy, which is Mad Mushroom's traditional pizza sauce topped with classic and cup and char pepperonis, bacon, sweet peppadew peppers, mozzarella cheese, and finished with herbs and spices, served with a side of crushed red pepper. So any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5, that's all caps, BREAK5, online at madmushroom.com to get $5 off any order over $20. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. It's a bye week, so it's perfect time to just pig out and watch some college football and some NFL and order a bunch of Mad Mushroom and use our promo code. So,
yes, sir.
And Webby, where can you get some good looking Purdue merch at?
Yeah, so it's obviously at the shop. I'm wearing the Rick Mount era shooter shirt. There's a script Purdue on the back. I'm not going to turn around for you, those who are watching. we got it from the shop, which has been serving or been making hometown apparel since 2011. They actually had a little drinkware there, a little thermos. Good looking one. I need a new thermos. It's actually on my Christmas list.
I need a clean one.
Yeah. But they've been making hometown apparel since 2011. They've got now have 3 retail locations across Indianapolis. I'm probably have to make a stop at one of them because I went to go buy the new Script Boilers hoodie that was online and 25% off yesterday, and they are sold out. So they're selling like hotcakes. But if you can't make it in person, go online at theshopindy.com. Use promo code BREAKDOWN for free shipping. Always check out their site. They're always running deals. Like I said, there was 25% off all Purdue apparel yesterday. If you weren't able to make that, I'm sure there'll be more as they come. Usually they usually celebrate after big wins or something like that. So maybe if Purdue can, you know, win the bucket or something, maybe they'll
get it. Oh my gosh.
They got at them.
I'm scared to know what the point spread's gonna be on that one.
Well, they'll probably have something because it'll be Black Friday too that day anyways.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. More ways than one. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. You can win even when we lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to check Mad Mushroom. They got some events coming up. They got some Dying to Donate events going on. They got bingo. And coming up on Tuesday, December 2nd, for all you Disney fans out there, they got Disney Channel Trivia Night at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, December 2nd. So they got Euchre Nights going on. They got Stranger Things Trivia on Tuesday, ooh, December 9th. So a lot going on. So go check them out on Facebook. Mad Mushroom, their State Street location there on Purdue University's Purdue's campus. And yeah, a lot going on. So, all right, fellas. Well, any closing thoughts?
Let's get to in the Bahamas.
Yep. Stay healthy.
Win the bye week.
Stay healthy. Boil it up. Hammer down. Beat the Tigers and either the Red Raiders or the Demon Deacons.
Yes, sir. Weather up.